Hello and welcome to Working Title. I'm Ryan Fring with The BitLife Show, and this is Han Solo from Loot Crate.
Ironically, Han Solo becomes Greedo.
Is that Star Wars?
That's Star Wars. I don't.
This is a very special episode because it got lost in the computers and editors and...
Sure, blame the editor.
We're very excited to have this episode air. This is Aaron Williams, a good friend of ours. He works with TrueScribe here in Madison, Wisconsin. They create a lot of those really cool whiteboard animations that you see. And he actually got to work on the Weird Al video. What was that song?
I should know things
before I start these intros. So Aaron got to work with Weird Al and his team on Mission Statement. That's that whiteboard video we're going to talk about. And it was really fun to hear him talk about that process and how excited he was, but then also having to be quiet about it until it was released. So we're so excited to actually get this episode aired. I believe it's episode 17.
18.
Aaron Williams. True Scribe, sponsored by Contigo. See, Contigo, you could probably make a lot of money. You know, people watch this and they need to drink water.
Yay!
Gling. So today we have Aaron Williams, good buddy of ours.
Oh, hey.
What do you do exactly? You're an editor, but you work at a whiteboard company, so like animation, right?
Kind of. It's video scribing, whiteboard animation, and the videos are basically all the same. All you see is like white, mm-hmm. and then a hand drawing the thing. Mm-hmm.
Perspective is important
on a whiteboard, and it's basically edited to. A script, mm-hmm. and so first they do the script, and then the artists come up with images to go along with that, and I take all that. I have a process where I can quickly, you know, just chop it up and mm-hmm. put out a little video, as we call it, for a company.
In the field.
Now, don't downplay it, because you have, Julia reminded me yesterday, you did some work with Weird Al.
Yes,
Yankovic,
yes.
That you had to keep silent.
That's the reason why you're on the show.
Oh, okay. We talked about that the whole time.
Yes. How great Weird Al is. Well, how was he like?
I thought we talked about the 48 hours.
Yeah. We'll talk about that too.
I thought that's all.
Was Weird Al in the 48 hour?
Yeah, because we don't want to know if he's.
We're not going to.
Did you get a piece of his hair? Do you still have it?
I was pretty geeked out. He came to us. He thought that was what style we do is very corporate.
He wanted that.
It's like he saw that it was something, you know, that was taking off.
Like, you guys are the epitome of corporateness.
Exactly.
We need to have this in my video.
And he even thought what I heard. He even thought like a normal music video, it wouldn't retain the attention mm-hmm. Of like how long the song was. And our videos are designed to retain your attention. It's it's this whole this whole scribology goes along with it about seeing things being written. It releases endorphins or something, so you want more of it.
Speaking we have to do that on this show.
Science.
As I specified, this episode should have been done entirely in that style and in that format, but it would have been the first 5 minutes of the drawing. And then just 45 to 50 minutes of just the static drawing, and then maybe slowly erasing it at the end. Like, that would have been the entire
just
video.
Watch that. Yeah.
It's really detailed.
You don't feel your endorphins going right now?
My endorphins are going 24/7. I'm pretty much dead inside.
You want to keep talking about that? It was great. They had, like, a few summers ago, he was at the... Wisconsin State Fair, and so they had a meeting with him there.
Was he performing?
Who's performing?
My brain. I was like, why?
he's bored, looking at the cows and chickens and stuff. He was there.
Eating some cheese.
Where can I get brats and like, cheese curds? Yeah.
He does have some animals in real life, so he probably wouldn't be too far away from doing that.
So we had a meeting with him. Some of the artists and producers had a meeting with him there, and then afterward we got like front stage tickets to a show then some meet and greet afterwards. That went pretty quickly.
And you got to go to that?
Yeah.
Nice.
That's a picture.
It was...
Oh, that you're finally able to release.
Finally able to release. Well, yeah.
But so you had an NDA on that? You couldn't talk about it? You couldn't share pictures with it? Or
basically, yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
That sounds like you didn't.
Yeah, we didn't talk. Like when we took pictures at the fair.
Yeah.
We were told, yeah, you can't post anything. One guy already put one up on his Facebook. He's like, what is going on here? And his friends thought, like, something bizarre is happening, and he just took it down right away. I don't know what you're talking about. we're supposed to have, like, a big press release thing that happened, was going to happen. I don't think anything happened until, like, the very last minute, like, the day it came out. But you know, we work with big companies like Walmart and Kraft, just top of my head, I can't remember a whole lot. But then the one we did for Weird Al, like, that's the one we're like super hyped about. We still talk about it. We didn't get any money for it.
Yeah.
But I still would. I would talk about that constantly. I'd be like, yep, that's what we did. Remember 17 years ago when we did that music video for Weird Al? We apparently have not done anything since. We need to ramp that up.
Yeah, when we were starting to posted a screening version of the video, and he made some comments on it and stuff. And I had her wrote back. The first thing I said was, like, okay, any communication we have, I totally geek out. But let's get into this.
Just
and
to be clear.
I started this, and he replied, like, aww. Yeah. And went, so that was really cool.
Did he have, like, a handle, like Weird A, or was he just Weird? Did that just come, like...
Or was it his name?
Or Al.
Like Al Johnson. W-A-Y.
Because that could, you know, if I saw, like, Weird Al Yankovic, you know, like, that'd be a little more intimidating than just Al. Thanks. Al.
I forgot how he signed it.
Yeah. Well, important details.
He physically signed each email.
Yeah, it's just kind of a scribble. Yeah.
He did send us a picture. One of the images from the music video, a fan turned it into a t-shirt and sent it to him and then sent the picture to us of him wearing a banana man and on his t-shirt.
Now, was it a typical one with just drawing? I haven't seen it in a few weeks, I guess. Uh-huh. Because it just came out a few months ago.
I can't remember when the album dropped.
Because it was all crazy. Because what was the deal with the album, too? Like, all music videos for every...
It's his last contracted album.
Right.
Okay.
So he's kind of done, well, unless he changes his mind, he's kind of done doing standard, like, studio-released albums.
Oh,
because
sure.
He doesn't really need to be. He could record a song like, oh, this song's popular. Mm-hmm. I got a parody. Let's record it. Boom, and release it for a single.
Just sell one.
And be just fine. Like, he doesn't need to do the studio stuff. So this one, he started it two albums ago. Sorry, I'm kind of, I like Weird Al. I know this crap.
I have several Weird Al cassette tapes, so.
I own every album. Every album. Greatest Hits. Box set, everything on CD.
This explains a lot.
It does, doesn't it?
You enjoy parody.
I enjoy parody a lot. Yeah. The last album he released, he started doing music videos for a bunch of them. Like he got like Robot Chicken and a bunch of them to do different style music videos. And then this one, he had a music video for every single song on the album.
I don't parody. Think there's everyone.
Guarantee all these originals at least. All the originals had music videos. I can't say that parodies
like the
do.
Polka.
The polka
didn't get
a parody. It didn't get a video.
But yeah, like every day for
a
like
week.
7 days.
Yeah.
And ours was the last one to come out.
Oh, nice. That's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, and it was funny. It was on a Wall Street Journal is where it premiered. Yeah, that's what the video was. It was corporate. I forgot to mention the corporate jargon, and it's just buzzwords. Mm-hmm. And it's called mission statement. Synergy was used a lot throughout the video.
Yes.
It was like the end of each. Phrase, you know, like it would go for a while and then it'd be like, and synergy.
So me and Weird Al are best friends now. That's wonderful.
That's how the story should end. Yeah. So what was the process like, you know, from your side? When did you get involved and what did you do
in that project? I did all the editing. Have all the editing.
And you got to interact with him.
Yep. Okay.
I mean, that's probably the best part.
The process was a little different with that one. Usually we use Final Cut 7, actually, to do all our videos and stuff. It works. We said to keep our shortcuts. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't had to change it for like 15 years. It's phenomenal.
Yeah. But this one I did do in Premiere. Sometimes I go back and forth between Premiere and just to see if it does what I want it to do.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's a lot of effects, there's a lot happening, I just start in Premiere and do it that way. There might have been probably some After Effects, mm-hmm. but just it was a lot different. My editing process, what I set up to do any of these videos, is very simple, streamlined. But when there's a lot, of different things coming in, riding up on top, bottom,
right.
A lot sliding of in. And so there's so many layers. Usually the video is just like that one layer. Mm-hmm. And this had like so many layers. It was quite a process. Yeah. It took a lot longer to do than any of our other videos.
Mm-hmm. Now, how'd you get into that? How'd you get into this company? Have you always edited? Somebody mentioned the 48-hour films before. What's your history?
What's my history?
Start from when you were born. Just kidding.
Born on a cold day. It was right after that I remember anything.
I didn't just slide into video editing. This is something I wanted to do for a long time.
Do you remember a moment? A movie or something, and you're like, yes.
There was when I was just a youngster. Yes. We rented a VHS camcorder from some place, and we had it for a week, and made all kinds of things. You know, short movies. I did the little, you know, turn it on, turn it off, do stop animation, and I'm not saying that that's like my breakoff point. It was just video from then on, mm-hmm. but that's like it's probably where it started. And I did some other careers. I was a metal fabricator and a machinist. Mm. And for a long time, and I knew I wanted to get into video in Madison Media Institute. I always see commercials for that, and I wanted to do that. And then it just took a long time to get in, to finally have the finances or whatever to do it. And so I went, and then it took a long time. I graduated in 2008, right when kind of the economy really tanked.
I know that story.
And so I'm still doing metal fabrication part-time, like with no benefits or anything, and trying to like take some days and like work on my demo reel or mm-hmm. just work on fun things. And I did a few other projects during that time. And then finally, one of the places I was applying to was TrueScribe, and their interview process was awesome because I can't look good on paper. I know my stuff, but
oh yeah,
but I can't.
Yeah, you're
I
like
can't,
metal fabricating for 1 year, and I love editing.
For 10 years.
For 10 years. I learned 10 a lot
years?
From that job.
10 years.
Oh, you did that for 10 years. Oh wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that speaks to something. You've been able to, you know, do something solid mm-hmm. for an amount of time instead of bouncing all around. Like,
but I can't like put out a cover letter. I'm horrible at communication and stuff, but the way they had it set up was awesome. Oh, tell me what you would do in this situation, or what's a good format for this.
Oh,
and
yeah.
here's a little editing sample. I'm like, oh, this is my jam. Here's nice. All this. And and they liked me, so they hired me on in 2012 mm-hmm. early, and I've been there ever since.
Nice. And I'm assuming
a whole lot, yeah.
I'm assuming you've graduated from tape.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't didn't have to edit on that.
Yeah, I mean I keep trying to ask him, you know, tape is where it's at and stuff. I need my Final Cut.
Especially
I need
in this whiteboard format. Tape. Yeah. Did you start with Final Cut or what did you start with? Because that would be a big investment.
Like at the company?
Just editing, you know.
Editing.
How'd you get into it?
I did use tape to tape.
Yes.
You know, tape to like a VCR, got your camcorder, and I did a little bit of that. I used an official like tape to tape machine at the local access station a little bit. Wow, that's a nightmare.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know at home, VHS obviously is tape. And back when you didn't have the tape to tape, you literally just had one VHS going into another VHS. And I don't think I've ever used one unit that is solely tape to tape, but is it just the two decks in there? You hit play and hit record?
Basically, you set it up exactly where you want it, and then it rewinds the tapes, and it plays them at a nice speed, and then it's
now that's technology.
Yes.
Light years beyond where we are today. We've gone backwards, I'm pretty sure.
Well, and I mean that's what 7 is great for, and a lot of other editors mm-hmm. in town that we've talked to, you know, it's just their workhorse. It's, you know, they don't have to think much. They just sit there and they know all the keyboard shortcuts, and they just mm-hmm. they go. It's like a, you know, well-oiled machine. And then you throw a new format at it,
And you're like, oh, what do we do? And then you have to, you know, go outside the kind of the functionality of 7 and do lots of other things. And
it
that's
ate
why
my file.
Yeah.
It somehow ate the digital file.
It's a well-oiled machine, Jeff. That's what well-oiled machines do.
It eats things?
Files.
Why?
Mostly.
So, Aaron, how did you get involved in 48s?
Oh, boy.
What was the first one you did?
First one I did was the first year that it was.
In Madison?
You were there,
yeah,
Jeff.
Yeah, first year.
Uh-huh. It was
Steven, first Madison.
A good friend, Stephen Pickering, yep, from Dry Water Entertainment.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we met him. Yeah.
Very nice plug.
I will add a little ding when you blink. I will do that.
He's probably listening to this. He's one of the 12
He's
people.
One of the three that are listening.
We'll send you a bill later for that little
name drop. We get about
drop
to 15 critical mass, so...
That's why we name drop as many people as humanly possible, so people go home and go, I was on this episode. Also, I mentioned you.
Yes.
Watch this one.
That's a great way.
When was this? The first 40 years?
I don't know. Next year will be 10 years.
So 2006.
Wow. Because
That's when I met you, was that 48.
Was Dan part of that?
No, Dan came second year. Okay. Came to events.
Okay, yeah.
That was the one that, so yeah.
It was the first year. We did horror.
Yep.
And I was the handyman.
Yep.
The creepy handyman that was set up to be the killer.
Yep.
Were you not the killer?
I was not the killer.
Surprise twist.
We teamed up with him for like quite a few years.
First 4 years.
And different jobs on it. Some acting, getting into After Effects. We got one best special effects probably the following year.
Because it was a car crash. It was the car crash shot and came to events. Because we did a car shot, car crash.
Nice.
Let's do it.
Sideswipe, car crash, like the whole cliche car driving and the car driving. Aaron did the whole thing. Shot it outside in the dark just because that was the car. That was where the car was. Uh-huh. Green screen lit outside the window and Aaron removed all of it.
Car cum, glass fly.
Yeah, digital glass and all. That was so cool.
So what do you like to do? Do you like... some of the it sounded like you said you did some acting, but then a lot of special effects, and now you obviously edit. What is it?
How it be, bro? I can really lose myself in special effects, in that type of thing, titling and whatnot. Editing sometimes is just hard trying to find. You guys probably do a lot of talking heads and try to find those clips where they didn't flub over their lines or something. And
then the client's like, well, they don't say that very well. And you're like, I know.
I know. You should listen to the raw audio.
I do like acting, too. I was in different theater productions. I can't sing worth a darn, but I enjoy acting, being on stage. I liked, being in our 48s. That's really the only time I've been on film acting. I
think he's hinting at something, Julia.
I know. It's okay. He can.
No.
The next thing we do is starring Aaron Williams, the life story of Aaron Williams and
but
Aaron Williams.
But it was actually painful to watch myself act.
It usually is. That's why I don't do it that much. It's just I'm like...
The other thing... The good stuff. How I met you, Aaron, in addition to being in Mislabeled, which was great, and I love that.
I love this
48. Is you also puppeteer. So how did you get into that?
That was Jeff.
Was that me?
That was you basically getting to know the firmament guys.
Oh yes.
Because we've doing the 48. We should run through other 48s we've done real quick again.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so
after Timex, I stopped for a little bit. I stopped for like a year.
Okay. I can't think of what I did then. I probably teamed up with Steven.
I think you teamed up with Steven for that year.
And did something. So many now.
I know, that's the problem.
It was really good. You should check it out.
When we got back together, we did Afterthought with Dan, which we shot at Local Vision.
Local Vision, yep. Little mall.
We got to shoot up on top of the roof had a giant fight sequence at night. That's their sci-fi. I love that story.
I would just do that every time.
We got sci-fi. Two guys that love special effects. Sci-fi. Knowing like basically the two main people on the group, us and Dan, like we know we cannot do special effects,
and we didn't. We did one practical effect, which was the glove, and that's the only like real special effect.
You did sci-fi and didn't have special effects.
No,
yeah.
Were you just like, we have lasers? Trust us.
The first thing like I thought of was Pushing Daisies, like that is sci-fi. I mean, they have a lot of effects that they do, but it's just simple and it's not like lasers and stuff. And then we did.
Then the next year we did Mislabeled.
Mislabeled,
yep. Which is the one with the briefcase.
So good.
That's
black,
the one.
Dark comedy.
Yes. Which was kind of hard initially. It's like.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you do?
Turned out black but, comedy.
Elijah Wood comedy. With it a was, dog. Yeah. That's how you do it.
But it was, I love Mislabeled. That one's a great one too. And like, the beauty is both of those, both those stories are so easily adaptable to longer versions. Mm-hmm. You know, like House Call, you might have been able to do it, but it's not real adaptable to a longer form. It works for that 7 minutes. Whereas Mislabeled and Afterthought both work for that 7 minutes, but both could easily be this whole
Mislabeled
world.
Could be a series.
Mislabeled could be a series. We established that easily. Like, I always wanted, I want to do a sequel to Mislabeled and just do another like 10-minute short.
What was the plot of that one again?
Dan's a medical dealer. He's not necessarily a drug dealer.
He's the That's pharmacist. Right.
He's a pharmacist, right. And he gets caught up in having to kill this guy and or this woman. And
but I think it was during that Mislabeled. I don't know who. Maybe Dan is getting to know the firmament guys, mm-hmm. and so during the kickoff and drop off and stuff, gotten to know mm-hmm. Chris, probably Chris. Mm-hmm. And then you, this was Dan, and I think you were involved with the Princess Knight.
Yep.
The musical. Okay.
Because Dan introduced me to TC after Seven mm-hmm. Year Wish.
Yes.
And then I got to know TC, and then TC asked me to help shoot for the Princess Knight musical, which also, Kim, okay. Dan's wife, was involved in. So, like, I knew people involved in that, and then that just... Like, that's how I got tied into Firmament and Princess Knight and all that stuff. So it's.
But yeah, we were mentioning the puppets. That was the Princess Knight.
I'm going to be so sad.
When that.
Because we have like two big scenes left, right?
And that's
yes.
it.
That's
plus
it.
Plus the bed
that's
chamber. All. We have three.
That's all we
two
have.
Two giant scenes that need to be done.
Two tiny, little, gigantic, humongous scenes.
Just, the opening scene is essentially like five scenes of what we're doing. It's going to be fine.
The two scenes are only the opening and ending of the movie.
Tell me about dedication. How does that.
How many hours of sleep did you get one last time? Because you didn't get any.
That's a good question. No, I got a lot. Like, dedication. I'm always dedicated.
You have to say that you were up all night.
I was up all night. Boy, you see how well it turned out? That was hours of sleep deprivation and dedication. No, actually, one of my flaws is I'm dedicated. Sometimes I'm not talented. I'm dedicated. I'll stick with something for years and be there on time and all that. But
and then on certain projects, people are like, Aaron, I appreciate your dedication, we'll call it. We were thinking maybe you might not want to be on this project anymore.
We turned it in several days ago.
Yeah. I know we don't know what you're still working on.
Yeah. No, that was the thing working on this one last time is, like, I'm the editor, but I want to show how involved I am. Let's go location scouting. I'm there. And we're going to go film. Like, gosh, I don't know if I should go film. I should probably sleep.
Yes.
And then I rested a little bit. I woke up and everybody was gone. I was downstairs on the couch. Everybody was gone. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, I think TC said something about, you can come, you can come film. I'm like, does he want me to come film? and so I slept. And then I woke up like at 3 o'clock in the morning or something. And I'm like, should I go down there? Are they expecting me? Like, I think I might have texted you.
Yeah, you did, and I was sleeping because I had to work Ruby, so I wasn't even there. And you're like, do you guys need me? I'm like, I have no idea. Like, I'm going to say no.
I shouldn't have, but I was like sweating. Like, should I go down there? Should I go get some rest? And I finally ended up like after an hour of contemplating, I should sleep. I should mm-hmm. just sleep. But I woke up. I woke up as soon as the sun woke up, and I got coffee. I went down, went down to the bar at 7 in the morning.
Oh my god,
7 or 8, and I'm like, hey, okay, let's get going, guys.
See, my years of dedication ended years ago. I burnt myself out those first 4 years, and then the two that we did, Dan and I did 3 in that 2 year span because we did the Milwaukee one a month before we did Afterthought. And like, I burnt myself out of doing it constantly, running, and I can't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I just have to write.
The first year we did it, we made the mistake of our lead actor was also the editor.
Mm-hmm.
So, when we were done,
that's right.
After a long, long day of shooting, it was like, well, I guess we got to edit now.
We're gonna go lay down on couches.
Well, it was funny because when we did it, we were the actors, we were the cinematographers, the editors, and I got more sleep that weekend than I would like on a normal work week.
That's the thing. When we've done it, like those three that Dan and I did, the two that we did, that those 2 years, we were done writing at a decent time. We got a decent night's sleep. We started filming at a normal time. It wasn't like, well, we're up at 6 a.m. We have to start filming. Like, we started filming at like 10:30 in the morning, and we're wrapped by like 9, maybe. And then Mislabeled, I took the footage home and edited it. Like, started working on it a little bit that night, and then the next morning got up at 9:30 and edited and had it done by like 1 in the afternoon. And it was like, well, we're just gonna do some fine tuning, I guess, and waited for you to grant, you know, because you did the credits for Mislabeled, and it was like, we were waiting on we were just like, all right, we'll just chill and hang out, and like, it was very relaxed, and we still got everything done. Yeah, we didn't win all these awards, but
we didn't win. We didn't
anything.
Have things that we're really proud about.
And maybe I didn't shower much that weekend,
but I got a lot of sleep. No, but I mean, so one thing that speaks to is. Just kind of the innovativeness of indie filmmaking. Yes, yeah. So you had fun. You got it done. You know, you're probably still proud of it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's something it can stand the test of time. But, you know, it's great to have other people working on these projects and with department heads and things. But you're always waiting on somebody, you know, and who are you waiting on? And somebody has to figure out who you're waiting on. And, you know, it's herding cats a little bit. So if you had to recommend, as an editor maybe, recommend a movie that people should watch.
I what couldn't tell be? You that, I guess. I've kind of been away from like doing normal editing for so long. Like I don't watch a movie.
And you're like, ooh, that was a cut.
Right, exactly.
That I love.
Mm-hmm. I mean, usually I can tell if something's really bad. That's what I do. Yeah, but I can sit and enjoy a movie.
What's that like?
What's that like? It's great.
Is it?
You sit down and watch a movie and...
I don't think it's good. I can't do that anymore.
I feel like for bad movies, that's the case, for me at least. But, you know, people ask that, and then I think about anyone who knows sports or watches sports. Mm-hmm. Like, if you don't understand what's happening in football, you're not going to enjoy watching football. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But when you learn the rules, you're going to have more enjoyment. Then you start learning about the players and the teams and, you know, the personalities and all that stuff. And hopefully you find more enjoyment. And I find that's true with filmmaking too. But then when I'll watch something like Interstellar, and I don't think about filmmaking the whole time. I'm just experiencing a story. But sometimes, you know, I'm like, you know, on a different film, I can't think of one that I've seen recently. I'm like, oh, that was not very good. Or I wonder how they did that. I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. And that's when I'm not in the story. Usually with my second or third watch of anything, I analyze everything. But my first pass on it, you know, I'm just another a spectator who knows the rules and, you know, am just enjoying the execution of it.
Sometimes I do that where I see what they did, try to figure out what they did. Like, again, with Boyhood, like, did they have the same camera like for 12 years? Did they use that? The same coloring?
I have not even thought
of that. Did they even shoot on, you know, they have like digital cameras that shot, you know, HD, you know,
when it started
12 years ago.
Right.
Like, yeah, you're trying to get this SD movie. Yeah. Back in. So I'm like really looking at that film. They shot that film and stuff.
They probably just did the whole thing in film. They could probably have the same camera.
And then they just were hoping that film was still around like 12 years in the future.
You could buy a lot of film.
Dodged a bullet on that one.
Yeah, film's like cheap now, isn't it? Or nobody's using it. They have warehouses for film.
Gravity was one that I knew they had like a lot of long cuts and a lot of special effects. And so I was looking for those types of things. But yeah, for the most part, it's the movie. Sometimes when like there's a long take, and I notice that, like Avengers or yeah.
What about Birdman? Did you ever watch Birdman?
I haven't seen Birdman.
Okay.
Birdman.
Birdman. Frank Birdman.
A lot of times, I'm the lowest common denominator type of movie guy. That movie, everybody says it's awesome, super great, amazing, and it just looks. Boring to me.
Okay, so I could tell you, I did not like the ending. I was like, oh, ending. This is the ending. Oh, no, they're going to keep going. Okay, this is the ending. This would be a great... Nope. And then they end, and I'm like, are you...
There's
pardon
a clinical
my language,
reason for
effing
this.
Kidding me. Right, so yeah, part of it is by background
so like
and mental
Return
health.
So like Return of the King.
The part of it is my mental
health. It's not as long. Yeah.
Mental health training. And like, it should not have ended that way. Yeah. It was so stupid. So
like everyone did everything wrong in the institution.
Yes.
And even my, you know, I don't know that stuff. I was like, should they be alone?
Yeah, exactly.
This doesn't seem right.
Yeah, it doesn't seem right.
And on that note, we're going to end it up in the air. Is there anything else you want to leave people with? A saying, perhaps some wisdom?
Keep it real,
else?
Baby.
Keep it real. Where can people find you on the internet?
Internet Geek is my internet name. It's actually spelled G-E-Y-C-K.
That's right.
Geek. And so that's my YouTube. That's my Twitter.
Wait, what was that again?
G-E-Y-C-K.
For the longest time, I tried pronouncing it Gaysk.
Well, that's I keep me one time. I was like, hey, this Gaysk guy or whatever is commenting. It's great. Do you know who that is? Because it was early on. I was like, it's probably a friend.
I'm like, yeah, it's Aaron.
It's like, so Geek.
It's Geek. Okay. Yes.
That's good, because actually I didn't know that either.
No one ever got that
Geisha.
Right.
It's pronounced Geisha.
I was actually watching Original Gamer, real-time gaming thing, and I
like a Let's Play or
yeah like that, and I made a comment, and he actually said my name. He actually said it right the first time.
Oh, wow.
Like the history of anything that someone has said my name right.
He's probably backstage going, okay, I'm gonna butcher this horribly. Geek.
Yeah
nice. He's like, I'm gonna be a smart ass here. Watch this. This guy named Geek. He,
like, yeah, that's my name. Like,
I don't know why that was your voice. Sorry.
I said, all right. To.
So check you out on Twitter, YouTube.
Twitter, YouTube. Basically, anytime you see that name somewhere, it's
all right. Nice. We'll have links to that.
Look it up.
I'm what am I? Ryan Fring. We have Jules E. Smith
and Couch Characters.
Oh, and Couch Characters. Check that out. We'll post another link box down here.
So many things. Shoe John Maker.
Random Bell. Do we have anything else to advertise?
Aaron Williams. Aaron all caps.
Aaron all caps.
Aaron.
Now, is your name legally all?
On my birth certificate, all the letters are capitalized, so yes.
Sounds very official.
You spell your name that way.
I do.
I see that in correspondences that come back through the mail.
I've been doing that for years, yeah.
And then I can't remember if I asked Julia or somebody, and Julia was like, yeah, I think that's his name is capital.
He's got an ego, and he just likes all.
He just likes he likes people saying his name louder than the rest of his
name.
Is that
illegal? Like, can you be like, well, that letter is lowercase, so that's not my legal name. You know, is that a thing? Like, is uppercase? You know, because like, does everybody have to have the first letter uppercase?
I don't know.
This is where my mind goes. See,
I'm gonna ask Prince about this.
That's why they don't let me out of the room.
All good stuff to talk about at the end of the episode.
We did it.
Thanks, Aaron, for being awesome.
Come back in the later time.
Please come back.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.